Hey, Soil Nation, welcome back to the Top Soil Podcast. This is Trent Stout with Stout Seed. Look me up on Twitter, at Seed Junkie, or on Facebook, at Stout Seed, if you have any questions regarding anything that we talk about today or anything we've talked about in the past. We love hearing your feedback and your comments. A little shorter episode today, still continuing conversation on 60-inch corn. Mitchell had given me some thoughts and some stuff that he had done on his grad work when it came to some conversations that we're currently having surrounding guys thinking about transitioning to 60-inch corn for various reasons. And so, you know, Mitchell kind of just in his last episode had thrown that back at me to kind of continue that conversation. And so I'll give you some general thoughts that I have on 60-inch corn. And, you know, maybe try to add some value surrounding that conversation if that's something that you personally are thinking about in your area. So the first thing I think that's most important when you're transitioning systems is to have realistic expectations. The Virginia Satir change model is something that I think has always been valuable. It's something that guys allude to when they, you know, a lot of YouTube videos on this. And that just basically shows that anytime that you're changing something from status quo, so in our farming operations, whatever that status quo is, whether that's narrow rows, twin rows, 15-inch rows, 30-inch rows, whatever your status quo is on your farm, there's going to be this, what people refer to as a learning curve. Or as you know, in that model, they kind of call that the chaos mode, which is where we try to implement change, and we can't control all of the aspects. So there's going to be things that are unforeseeable. There's things that are just going to go wrong, and you have to have flexibility. You have to be able to adapt and change. And if you listen to a Lauren Steinlogge from West Union, we've talked about him several times on this podcast. He's kind of one of the forefront leaders in the state of Iowa when it comes to 60-inch rows and relay cropping and companion cropping. And some of the things that he's doing is really interesting in how he's increasing profitability. But he alludes to this model as well when he talks about, you know, that there's going to be this learning curve before you can get full implementation and being able to adapt and change to improve and not just throw everything out the window at the first sign of trouble is going to be very important. So as time goes on, we tend to see in farming with any implementation change, as time goes on, we adapt, we get better, we make modifications. And I think that this is very similar when we talk about 60-inch corn. There's going to be some hiccups, but ultimately, you know, we're focused on the end goal of profitability and not necessarily just surrounding yield. How can we make every acre more profitable? And so that's one of the main things when I think it comes to 60-inch corn. Guys that are looking at this method, it's not about anything other than profitability. And so when we look at profitability in 60-inch corn, we typically are talking about the implementation of relay cropping or companion cropping. So relay cropping, for some of you that are new to that, is just the idea, as in track and field, when you're running a relay, we're passing that baton off to the next person. So in relay cropping, you have two crops that are harvested at different increments primarily, and you're basically having one crop, cereal rye coming out of the winter that you're going to take to seed, and you're interseeding soybeans at your normal time frame into that rye so that you can combine that rye and your soybeans are already growing and flourishing. And once you get that rye off, then you have this relay, the next leg of that crop moving forward to combine at a later interval. So when we talk about 60-inch corn, right, a lot of the conversations that I'm having are, can we use 60-inch corn and then have something in those V-gaps of the 60-inch corn that can be somewhat of a cash crop or a revenue provider to the farm? Whether that's flail mowing alfalfa, whether that's, you know, doing something from a carbon standpoint or a soil organic matter standpoint or a cover crop standpoint or a forage aspect, that we're putting something in between those rows, those wider rows, that allow us to have this relay crop or companion crop that will flourish after we take off the first cash crop. And I think in corn, you know, you can look at really good legumes if you have livestock in your operation. Depending on the type of livestock, if it's cattle, you would already have your grazing mix in that in those the middle of those rows, flourishing, capturing sunlight as that corn crop is growing. And then once you take the corn crop off, you already are way ahead of the game from grazing what's left in the residue with your cattle, and ultimately pushing profitability through the cow to the marketplace, maximizing that acre. And that's very key and very important. I think Lauren, I'm not sure if you could find a video on YouTube about what Lauren's doing as far as the grazing aspect of that, but he has been experimenting with sheep. And so in the, you know, putting a, he's actually grazing that all summer long in between those corn rows. He's putting sheep down the middle of those corn rows and then allowing the sheep to graze up and down through those corn rows, where the corn actually acts as a fence or a barrier so that those sheep kind of stay on task, moving up and down through the middle of those rows. And for him, that, you know, is a real cheap feed, and it's doing something on that acre where he can maintain yields on corn and also get cheap feed, and he doesn't have to battle the time frames and the time windows that are limiting for most people in the Midwest when it comes to grazing. The other thing that I think is very important is just, we talk a lot about in cover crops having a living root 24/7. And so, you know, with 60-inch corn, you have a lot of options in how you can use carbon sink sequestration and the carbon sink to build soil organic matter, because you have diversity of species growing, and you also have living roots, living plants on that acre for a full calendar year. And so from biological diversity, from a soil resiliency aspect, from building sequestration in your soil, the building carbon layers in your soil, which ultimately lead to, you know, new topsoil and building organic matter, I think 60-inch corn allows us some flexibility and the availability to be able to do this more than, say, 30-inch corn. Corn, because we don't have the ability to capture that sunlight like we do in 60-inch corn. So those are some general thoughts. You know, I think from a companion relay cropping, 60-inch corn is a very favorable system. From a grazing option, you know, if you have small livestock or if you're looking to fall graze, 60-inch corn is a very viable option. From a carbon sequestration and building soil organic matter, again, I think that this is a viable option, and it really comes with very little modifications if you're on a 30-inch row system currently. So that, I think, is why, from a profitability standpoint, from an implementation standpoint, the 60-inch corn concept is gaining some traction. We are still fairly new at most of this in the industry. This is not a widespread concept yet. So like I said, the ability to be flexible, the ability to be have an adaptation mindset versus an adoption mindset, you have to be able to adapt to be able to maintain profitability, be able to maintain yield levels over the long run. And I think ultimately, once we use these type of systems with the mind frame that we are after building organic matter, after putting carbon into the system, we're after soil health principles, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're gonna lead to more soil resiliency, more soil biological activity, and you should be able to reap the benefits economically from what those things provide. So that's just my general thoughts on 60-inch corn from the conversations that I'm having, from the directions that I feel, you know, these some of the growers that I work with, the way that they're moving and the way that they're thinking about things. Also, just wanted to inform you on, you know, next week we are going to be, Mitchell and I will both be at No-Till on the Plains. No-Till on the Plains conference out in Wichita, Kansas is a terrific conference year in and year out. It's one that has, you know, if you look at the bill of speakers, it's just a wealth of knowledge. And we're looking forward to being there. We got a good group of farmers and consultants from Washington County going down to that conference, looking to learn a lot about these type of principles and these type of concepts. So next week we will be broadcasting live from Wichita, Kansas, and trying to fill you in and keep you up to date on some of the things that we're hearing, some of the takeaways that we have from that conference. So it should be an exciting week next week. If there's anything specifically you would like for us to find out or ask questions on or try to discover a little deeper knowledge on, send us a message on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter. We'll be, I'm sure, you know, blowing up the Twitter space with, you know, things that we find interesting throughout the day. So if you don't follow us already, go find us, follow us, and we'll try and keep you in the loop as much as we can. But again, if there's something that you personally would like to hear about, send us a message, let us know, and we will do our best to try to be your liaison in Wichita next week. So if you're going, look us up. Love to hear from you, love to see you down there. And if not, you know, stay tuned. I think we can bring you a lot of value and information. Appreciate your time. We, like I said, we'll be live from Wichita next week, and look forward to that week and what it brings. Thank you.